Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is The Boop Show, episode 227. It's Monday, November 11th, and it's 2019. Can't find my volume button. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. This is The Boop Show. As I stated before, I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Dunaway dancing. What's up, Brian Dunaway dancing?
Oh, hi, Scott. I'm pretty excited. Had a good couple of weeks of video gaming, and I'm ready to talk about it.
Do you like the name? Somebody in the chat says that's the Dunaway hop. Are you cool with that?
Would you prefer? Yeah, I'm good with that. I do that sometimes. Okay. I'm not doing the hop as much as you may suspect, and only because right now I'm in my inside office, and my inside office does not have a concrete flooring. It instead has a flexible wood flooring.
Hold on a second. You have an outside office and an inside office. Oh, you mean like, no, what do you mean? Like one outside in the yard or what?
Yes, it's out in the, that's what I call my backyard, the backyard office. No, I have a garage with an attached office, which we've been remodeling, and I haven't been out there. I've been in my temporary indoor office that is kind of comfy. It's kind of comfy in here.
I like it. I think it's super sexy. You should go on forever in that state and never leave it again.
Never. But I can't.
No, you can't. But it's good to be here, everybody. We missed you all last week, but there was no show last week because we only do this twice a month now. Although I got some thoughts
on
that.
I got confused because we were like, we did Wednesday the last time we did it.
Oh, right. We pushed it because there was something. Oh, because you had a car thing or something.
Right.
So everything's all left up. It's all left up in our heads. Actually, that's good because it means there was less time between the last time we did it. And then there was an extra day.
Only a week and a half.
There you go. See, everything's fine here. But not until we talk about games. All right. So let's start the week off with what is the biggest title of renown and note? No, it's not Death Stranding. I'm finding myself not caring too much. I can't get excited, and I don't know why. I think part of it is mixed reviews. Part of it is some friends saying, it's not all that. Part of me is just like, do I really want to go? Am I in the mood for just super weird right now, or do I want to have something a little more grounded? For whatever reason, I'm just not in the mood for that flavor.
You got to really be ready to. I mean, we already knew this was going to be a heavy narrative video game story in this Death Stranding. So, I mean, unless you're in the mood to really just sit down a while and gander, probably not your game right now, right?
Probably not. You could say the same thing about the thing I'm playing in terms of, you know, how casually do you want to approach it, but I'm way more into it. So I'll just say I'm playing Red Dead Redemption 2 on PC. That's what I'm playing right now. And the reason I'm playing that right now is because I held off playing much of it before. Now, I say that because I did actually purchase a copy of that game for the PlayStation 4, but I didn't get very far. And I didn't get very far because I was convinced, and it turned out to be right, not that I'm any kind of genius in this regard or anything, but I was sure that game was going to end up on PC. I just knew it.
We talked about this sometime when it came out, and we had a discussion. And someone's got to go back and check the record. And I said it would be this number of months, and you said it'd be those number of months. And I'm just curious which of us was right.
You know what? I honestly thought it was going to be 2020. I think I predicted that, and I was off by at least a couple of months. And when they did announce it, so when I knew for sure is when their launcher happened. They make this launcher. It's not a great launcher. It's kind of a poopy launcher. It's not wonderful by any stretch. But when I saw that, I went, oh, well, duh, that's how they're going to do this. They're going to launch this on their own thing. They'll do the Epic Store thing because they get a little bit better cut. They'll hold off on Steam for a while. They'll do a direct download on their own launcher. And that's just how this is going to be. And the biggest surprise for me was when they announced that it was indeed coming. It was only like 2 weeks late or 2 weeks later from when they announced it. So that was really exciting to me. And I have been playing a lot since it hit. I should mention that they have not had the smoothest PC launch. Lots of issues for lots of people. Mostly, configuration stuff and this guy's old video card and someone's got a problem with certain displays or whatever it is. Sometimes that happens with PC launches. Their online service has been up and down, that sort of stuff. I didn't experience any of that. It's been smooth sailing, buttery smooth, awesome since I downloaded it. The only thing that's been weird was there was a glitch where I was up trying to save the preacher from getting hit by a train. People will know this mission if they played the game. And a little bit of volumetric fog, which is just like an effect your video cards do.
Right.
It started as a little green blob and then started coming at me and then went bleh, and blew way out so that everywhere I went, there was this giant green fog everywhere.
Really?
It was a one-off thing. I made a video of it and put it on Twitter, but it's I haven't had it since. It seems like it was just a weird one-off. They patched it a couple of times. Even in this house, though, we've had problems. Nick has his own copy, and he can't get it to run on his PC at all, and so he's got a ticket open. There's other people experiencing similar issues. It reminds me of when Batman Arkham Knight came out, and right. everybody was having those issues back in 2015, and it was just, you know, the PC version seemed half-baked in terms of, you know, compatibility. So there's a bit of that going on, which is too bad because it's frustrating to have this experience soured with that. Because I love this game, and I'm so glad that I waited to really dig in deep right. on this version, because I'm running it off a 1 terabyte SSD. I have everything running at maximum. It looks incredible on the PC. It's a beautiful game to look at. I'm running at 60 frames per second instead of the locked in 30 on consoles. What else can I say about it?
On your 5K display, right?
Yeah, running on a, well, it's on a 4K technically, but... it's just buttery, beautifully smoothy, awesome. I really like
except for the green blob.
Except for the green blob, yeah, that came out of nowhere. All I had to do there was exit and get back in. It did kill my progress on that quest, but I went and did it again. It was no big
deal. This is pretty typical of PC. I mean, it's a much bigger field you got to play in, especially in a game of this scope, to try to test everything beforehand with all the different processors and all the different GPUs and configurations. Mm-hmm. It's just it would be insane.
I don't know how any of them do it, to be honest, because there's so much stuff to build for. You're not just building for Windows. You're building for a billion video card combinations with, you know, another million freaking motherboards.
And I guess that's when you just let it go. You're just like, okay, we tested for what we could. Here you go.
Well, you can see why devs like developing for dedicated consoles, because the hardware is just straight up there every time. It doesn't matter what you do. But I really like it, and I'm super into it. I love the slow, methodic pace. Some of the stuff people complain about is that it takes every movement seriously. If you're going to get your hat, you got to pick it up. You got to put it on your head. You got to skin the animal.
You got to put it on your head, pilgrim. Yeah, I love it.
You got to kill the deer. You got to skin the deer. You got to put the deer hide on your horse. You got to get back on the horse. You got to take it to camp. Like, there's a lot of... old west, slow west sort of stuff going on,
right?
And I think it adds to the quality of the game. I'm prepared to just say it's a freaking modern masterpiece, and I love it. I love the first one. I love this one as much. I love the story. I love the characters. I'm just excited to keep going. So I'm probably probably 5 hours into it, something like that,
right?
In the story, I did go start a character in the online mode. That's pretty fleshed out too, more than I thought it was. So I'm excited to actually get back to that, but I'm going to finish the campaign first, which is pretty big.
Have you read much on, I definitely know that you wanted to play this on the PC because definitely a really interesting experience. Great experience. Has anyone done a full blown comparison of the PS4 Pro and the PC? Like, can I look at those statistics now? Should I just Google it?
I could be wrong about this, but I think the Xbox One X might run it at 60 frames, but I'm not sure about that.
Right, right.
I'm unsure about that. I don't think the Pro does, though. The PlayStation 4 Pro, I hate to say this, and this is going to upset somebody.
It won't upset me because I've been disappointed ever since I picked it up.
It seems like if you hadn't got a PlayStation at all during the console cycle and you were like suddenly in the market for one, the Pro was the way to go, right? Because you're getting slightly better this and that. And that's great. But it was never a great upgrade from the regular 4. It was a very small step. Xbox One X, a little bit better leap for those folks.
The biggest killer for me is the whole reason why I went with a PS4 Pro is because I traded in my PS4 regular for a Pro, because I was like, I looked at the price of UHD 4K Blu-ray players. And I said, well, if I'm going to do that, I might as well just upgrade my PS4 Pro because they're all touting how it can play the UHD for that. I'm like, sweet. So I went and picked it up, got it home. After some reading, realized, oh, not through disc. And I'm like, what do you mean not through disc? Then what's the point? Because you can't find any UHD when I bought this thing.
Yep.
This not disc.
Yeah.
I was so mad. I almost took it right back. I was like, all right, I'll give it a little bit longer. We'll just ride it a little longer. And so
it's eventually it's kind of obnoxious. Like that part of the Pro's value proposition is kind of broken.
Right. And don't get me wrong. I love the PS4 platform.
Sure.
Had a lot of fun. Nothing had a lot of good times. Yep. But I felt a little cheated there.
A little bit, yeah. Xbox One X owners probably feel similar ways, but maybe a little bit less because, again, the X was a lot more powerful than the One.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm, you know, there's not a lot to say about it that we don't already know. The game's already a year old in terms of its, you know, release on consoles, but it is running beautifully on my PC, no issues at all, and I can't wait to I just think about it all the time. I love it. I love Arthur Morgan. I love all these characters. I just want to spend all my time with them. I love Westerns. I love all this sort of stuff. I'm just freaking into it. And I'm having a really hard time being a dick. Like when you're out there in the world, you're supposed to make these choices that will either make you a good guy or a bad guy. And you kind of start in the middle. And there's plenty of people like to rob. I just can't do it. I just don't feel good about it. Or if something goes down that's not really my fault and I make a mistake.
Oh my gosh.
I'll do whatever I can to try to not make it worse. You know,
right?
Like if
right.
I chased a guy down that if I'd have killed him, it would have ensured there's no way he would have told the sheriff on me.
But I
couldn't do it, so I decided to let him go. And then later, it bit me in the butt, and I got thrown in jail because of it.
Because
the guy told on me, but I just didn't. I just couldn't do it. So
I did one. I did one pretty good the other day myself. It was in the Other Worlds, and I was over there trying to make good decisions, best you can, in a game that's mostly about gray area decisions.
The Other World. Oh, Outer World. You mean? Sorry.
Outer Worlds. What did I say? The Other Worlds.
You said the Other Worlds. Yeah, it's okay. Those names get confusing. I get it.
So the Outer Worlds. I was on there and I was playing, and I met this really interesting character. One of the most interesting characters I've met so far. And he seems so informative. Everybody else I've been meeting was so dumb. They didn't have any tech knowledge, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I ran across this guy. I had to do all these special paths to get to the guy. I was talking to him. He's totally crazy. He's totally entertaining. And suddenly my controller started giving me this drift. For some reason, this Xbox One controller, the left stick has a drift on it. And so I was drifting like near the guy, and I was like, I tried to pull back, and I accidentally hit melee instead. And one shot, one kill.
Oh no,
I was dead. And I'm like, well, that storyline's over. And I was depressed. I'm gonna just quit.
Did you not have
quit and start over?
You didn't have a good save point or anything right before that?
Nope, because I just ran into him, and I was like, oh, cool.
That'll happen.
I was thinking, and I'd done a lot of circling around and stuff. I'm not circling back all around, do all that crap just to beat this guy again. It's like, forget it.
Yeah, yeah.
Second playthrough, maybe I'll meet the guy.
I feel you. It's that's the kind of game, though, you want to play through again, so not too big a deal. There's plenty of choices I made in Outer Worlds so far that I feel like I want to go back and rectify through another playthrough, but.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, that game's at least a two-player, if not a three-playthrough. It's pretty fast. It's a pretty quick game.
Here's the other problem. I was out riding in the plains, and I came across some dude who was just chilling out there, and he needed help. And he was in, like, a prison uniform.
Right.
And he's got foot shackles.
I got some cream for that. Got the foot shackles.
He got the old foot shackles. And he's got those tied to him, and they're interlocked together, and he can't get out of them. So he asked me to cut them loose, and I don't have keys. So the way you're supposed to do it is take your pistol and fire the lock off, shoot the lock.
Right.
I did that, but I missed and hit his foot. And now the guy ran off, and I got in trouble for that. Or I think I ended up chasing him down, tackling him, tying him up, and then leaving him there. Yeah,
he wish he had some foot shackles now, right? Or that foot bullet.
It's freaking annoying. Yeah, he's got a foot bullet. What's worse, foot shackles or foot bullet?
Which one do you want, buddy?
It's just a cool game, man. I just want to be in there right now playing it, and I will. And if you're looking for like the top end of what a PC can pump out environment wise, I don't think there's anything prettier out there currently.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous, especially when you're out just in the plains, just, you know, I shouldn't say plains. This stuff's more like Rocky Mountains kind of stuff, whereas the last game was very desert and Mexico and South U.S. and that sort of stuff.
No, it's a different feel. I tell you, I have way more fear of falling from places.
Oh, yeah. The horse is a horse, of course. He's rough. He's rough business. You got to take care. You got to respect the needs of the horse, or else
you
got
to respect the needs of the edge of a cliff. Because I'll tell you, I've ridden plenty close to edge of cliffs and just, you know, not thinking much about it, and all of a sudden, whoa.
Yeah, and you're down and done. It's often dead. And I have a horse that I'm so into right now that I don't ever want another horse. I may just upgrade him forever because he's rad.
That happens to me too. I'm with you on that. Whenever I get a horse, I'm very stuck on them. I don't like trading them out.
It's like a pet in a video game.
It really is.
You just sort of like get into it to the point that you start to feel a weird feeling of like dedication to your freaking animal. But anyway,
this is my horse.
There it is. Get it now. Available on, well, the like I said, the Rockstar launcher, or well, sort of. You can't get it on Steam. Well, but you can get it on, and you can't get it on, you know, Switch. It's not a Switch game, right? Any stretch, but it is something. All right, Brian, tell me about. I've been wanting to hear about this all week. Tell me about Luigi's Mansion.
Oh, let's go. So Luigi's Mansion 3. While you were making choices to buy Red Dead Redemption 2, I said, you know what? It's 2 days after Halloween. It's time for me to pick up Luigi's Mansion 3. Mm-hmm. Hey, who are you gonna call? Mario. Luigi returns for his third installment of the Luigi's Mansion. If you played it before, you know it's a ghost catching adventure type game where you are the star Luigi and Mario is the damsel in distress, and you must rescue him from King Boo as he puts Mario in the picture frame. And so therefore you must go around a mansion, and this time it's not a mansion. This time it is a high-rise hotel. It's kind of like a mansion.
Wait, isn't it called Luigi's Mansion 3 though? It's not a mansion.
It is called Luigi's Mansion 3, and I guess you could technically consider it. I guess it's a hotel. It's a mansion turned hotel.
Okay.
Possibly.
All right.
So yeah. Right. So is like I said, it's more of the same. If you enjoyed the first couple of ones, there's not a lot of deviation in the story. As a matter of fact, there's a little bit of reset in the story because you're like, well, how is he going to do this again? Because he's already saved Mario one time. Surely he's not going to fall into the same trap again. Oh, he did. He fell in the same trap again. So you're just doing the same thing again. But this time, this game looks amazing. Mm. I really like how this looks. Now, this is supposed to be the direct sequel to New Moon. So you pick up a poltergeist pup who kind of assist you in your endeavors. He'll let you know where you might need to go if you get lost in this giant mansion with a elevator.
Well, what's this Guigi I'm hearing of? That's not the dog.
Oh, this is the best new part of this game. There's called Guigi. And what Guigi is, he falls out of your proton pack of sorts after Professor Egad sets it up, and he falls out of your proton pack, and then you can channel yourself, your Luigi self, into the empty vessel of Guigi. All right. While you're doing that, though, your body's back over here left untouched. Hope no ghosts get in that. I've been worried. You don't want an empty vessel. You don't want to leave your empty vessels laying around. So Guigi, he has the ability to go through like pipes and grates and that kind of stuff. Like if you're trying to get from one toiletry to another toilet, not a problem. Call on Guigi, and you control Guigi just like you do Luigi. I'm trying to think of the differences. I think you can do everything as Guigi that you can do as Luigi. However, you cannot get wet.
But Guigi is made of goo, right? He's a goo person.
Guigi is made out of that protoplasm stuff, right?
Oh, like in Ghostbusters.
So he's kind of like a Slimer kind of character, right?
All right.
Yeah.
I'm down with that.
Yeah. So he's kind of like that. And, I at first had a hard time with Guigi because I was not using him to full effect. So I would be walking around with Luigi, which I'm so used to. You suck up everything with when Luigi's Mansion. The most addicting part of any Luigi's Mansion game is sucking up coins and dollars. So you just walk around your little vacuum.
What's that vacuum called? Remind me. It's called the...
It's called the...
it's got a great creative name.
It's something like Ecto, but not quite. But it's kind of like that play on the Ecto word.
Yeah, what is that?
Is it Proto-Ecto?
Luigi,
I can't remember off the top of my head.
Vacuum.
Luigi's vacuum.
It's called
ectoplasm.
Poltergust 3000.
Poltergust.
Or 5000. I don't know. He's got a new one.
Or 5000. Yeah, he's got a new one this time around. Yeah. So you're watching the video right now of some gameplay, and the fun part about this when you first start in the hotel. All the ghosts are dressed up with masks because this whole thing, the reason why you're so stupid, you and Mario and Peach and some toads, why they went to this mansion is because they got invited to come to this mansion. And when you get there, you find out very early on, you've been duped. It's all a trap. And these ghosts are walking around. They just look silly.
Is Peach once again just ridiculously in need of help?
She's practically nobody. I mean, the secondary characters are pretty much just pushed to the side. You only get to talk to them for just a second. Luigi is the only really, really guy you're really even playing. Peach and Mario are there, but they're really just relegated to their own little areas of the hotel. And they don't even stay in the same place. At first, I was like, oh, look at that. They're so together. Are they married now? And I'm like, no, because they stayed in two different rooms.
So they totally Ricky and Lucy'd it.
Yeah, they totally did. Okay. At first, you're thinking, oh, then he's like, oh, no.
I was wondering about that. Like, how do Mario and Peach travel, you know? Like, what's going on there?
I was curious because on the way there, they're all, like, colored up. And that's when the intro to this game is so effective. When you're watching the intro to this game, you really understand what a true bachelor Luigi is. I mean... I needed that storytelling, and you feel like he's totally isolated because the toads have each other and Peach and Mario have each other, but Luigi, he's just a loner, and he's got this polter pup, which, by the way, is super creepy looking because it has no ears. It's a ghost dog. It has no ears, and that just disturbs me to no end for some reason.
I don't understand why he's even got the dog. Like, did his dog die?
I think we picked him up in New Moon. Okay. I think because there's no explanation whatsoever, so I'm assuming it must have been some New Moon stuff. I didn't play through New Moon.
That's the 3DS game, right?
That's the 3DS game, okay. Like I said, and that's what this is supposed to be.
I didn't play that. I played that not sequel. At all. So that's
I played sense. It for all of 5 minutes, and then I never went back and played it because I think my first impression was it was just a sequel. I mean, not a sequel. I thought it was just a remake of the other, and so. Years later, somebody says, no, you dummy. That was a full-on. I'm like, wow, I need to go back and play that.
Yeah, no kidding.
Now that I don't have my 3DS anymore.
Who's this lady putting tons of makeup on her face? Who's this lady?
This lady, for some reason, I'm not sure how it's playing the story yet. All these Luigi's Mansion games are very short. Mm-hmm. I think this one's around 11 hours to complete the main story.
Yeah.
But Luigi has a lot of sneezing problems. He's got some allergies here. So every time this lady... who's in league with King Boo, by the way. Spoiler. You're seeing the elevator, or have already seen the elevator. The elevator's a really key part in this game, this version of it, because some of the ghosts, the boss ghosts,
the bosses,
they have buttons for the elevator. So you can't access certain areas until you acquire those buttons and then reinsert them back into that. Also, Professor Egad is this really talky in this one, like more than so than usual, if I can remember. And he's going on about how he did this and you know, now he's got to be professor and he's got to make the stuff for you. And back in the day when he was like, shut up, Egad. And so I'm just waiting for an Egad sequel. I don't need that. Yeah. I don't need it.
All right.
I don't need it. So your Luigi's Mansion is mostly relegated to the first Luigi's Mansion. Did you play completely through?
No, I played a little bit of the first one on the GameCube. Never played the whole thing.
Right.
Never beat it.
Oh, God. I ran through like the GameCube version like at least three or four times, maybe more.
My kids did. My oldest Taylor at the time, she just loves this series. So she's pretty jazzed about getting the new
one. It's so much fun. And I was kind of disappointed because in the first one, there was a lot of Luigi. You could just like, you get walking around. There's one button you could hit and you go, Mario. Mm-hmm. And everybody hates it, but I love it. I've something so fun about Luigi just walking around looking for Mario, just trying to solve this simple problem. Oh, by the way, I think you're showing these ghosts getting smacked. That's one of my favorite things. There is
it's like a smacking body
multiple
slam.
Ghosts at once. Yeah, you suck them up. You have to work against the ghost because the ghost is trying to go one way. So it's kind of like a fishing game in that manner. You gotta pull them the opposite direction. But once you get them to a certain point, you can start using them and slamming them against other ghosts.
How do you rate the games? Is it scary at all? Like if a little kid played this, would they be terrified or no?
No, not at all. I mean, you couldn't know. You would. There's no score. But it's never been about being scary. It's about as scary as a Scooby-Doo, which is what they're really kind of going for. Is that Scooby-Doo vibe? I mean, you don't really. Like I said, were you really scared at Ghostbusters?
No,
a couple of times in the movie, but the cartoon, no, not really.
Not really.
It's just meant to be this spooky kind of thing. This spooky mansion.
Ooh, there's a turlet.
There's all kinds. I mean, it's of course. What do you expect from a Mario game or Luigi game?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't know that I've ever seen a toilet in a Mario game before, as far as I know.
You're right. I've never thought about that, but it just fits so naturally. It just makes sense because it's all about the plumbing, right?
I assume the Mushroom Kingdom, everyone just, I don't know how they.
Yeah, they just poop their pants and then they use the poltergust. They use the poltergust to suck it out.
Can the poltergust suck up, can it suck up the coins that are dropped?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's what you're doing. You can do a stomp in this one. So it's kind of like you can stomp and then the coins will start showing up. And mm-hmm. I think you're watching now on the screen where you can use your plunger. You can shoot a plunger and grab certain objects and pull it and toss it around and toss it.
The plunger's nice because that's Luigi's known for his prowess with the plumbing skills. Yeah,
right. Stuff. But I think they nailed it. They brought everything that I liked from the first game.
Yeah.
They brought it all back again. It's the game mechanics are still there. They gave me a new couple little twists here and there. They didn't spend a lot of time trying to create some new story when it was just fine. It was just, you know, yeah, I'll accept the fact that he's in this situation again. That's fine.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
It looks cool. So this
it looks really good.
Oh, look at that. Look at all the hidden stuff. This looks like something I'd mm-hmm. play. We'll play
oh,
this.
Oh, yeah. You totally got to play it.
My daughter
and
wants
I went,
it.
I wasn't 100% sure, and I was kind of cutting it close on my gaming budget that week. And so I was able to save $10 by going to Walmart. They were the only place that was even anywhere cheaper, and it was just their everyday price. I don't usually like to do that, but like I said, my budget demanded it, and I went and picked up the Luigi's Mansion 3.
Sometimes, Walmart can be good for that stuff. Same with Target. If you got to get yourself a slightly better deal, go over there and get it.
Yeah, it's a little slightly better deal. Speaking of good deals, I saw Death Stranding is hanging out at the Redbox first week while it opened up, so I got to run to the Redbox and grab that and play it sometime.
Oh, yeah, you should do that just so one of us can say how weird it is.
It's like $7.95 for 3 days.
Yeah.
I might play over the weekend or something just to kind of get my feel for it, see if it's something I want for Christmas. I do this a lot during this time because there's so many games that people are asking me that I want,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, well, I'm not sure. Let me try a couple of them out.
All right. Well, there you go. That's Luigi's Mansion 3, available on the Nintendo Switch, both the standard Switch and, of course, the Switch Lite if you are inclined. Mm-hmm. I'm now going to talk to the fine people at home about a little game I found called Meteor Fall Crumpet's Tale.
This looks awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome. So Meteor Fall is actually a game on mobile that is nothing to do. Well, it's in this world, but this isn't just a PC version of that. This is like an extended kind of universe thing happening in there. But these guys made this game called Meteor Fall on phones, which I fell in love with. I loved it. It was really fun, simple, easy to use, little roguelike sort of card game. That really took advantage of the fact that you're on a phone. This may be headed to phones as well, I don't know, but they're starting it out on Steam. It's currently in early access, and cannot recommend it enough. If you are into deck-building roguelike games, think Slay the Spire, or what's that one you and I tried? Deck of Ashes.
Yeah.
There's others like that. Anyway,
Tons of them.
The art in here is, I suppose, I don't want to say it's not like a Adventure Time ripoff. It's definitely in that vein or that style, some of the stylistic choices of those kinds of modern cartoons. And I really like the style of it.
Yeah, it's definitely a Pendleton Ward type.
Yeah, similar stuff going on. The whole idea is you get this weird blue old man that's holding up this box, and in this box is a bunch of cards, and you're trying to eliminate enemies and eventually empty the box of those enemies and other cards. And you do that by, you know, playing through, losing some hit points, gaining some hit points, finding a, you know, randomly, oh, here's a health tonic. I'll take that and I'll feel better. Collecting cards along the way that you can use over time. You have to earn gold before you can spend some of your cards. So there's a lot of mechanics that deck builder people are going to hear and go, oh, yeah, that sounds like I would, you know, you'd pick it right up. You don't even need the tutorial. You just jump freaking right in. I think it's rad and want to give these guys big props for it because
I want to play it cool. Just because I'm looking at the graphics and they're just amazing.
Yeah, the art is great. It's really great. Very odd, cartoony.
Are there great voices? Like, are they like,
yeah, they got, like, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody's speaking English in this game. It's a lot of, you know, like weird nonsense.
Right. But that plays well here.
Yeah.
That's an advantage for these people.
I would agree. So the two things I'm going to put out there, roguelike / deck builder. People hearing that know what I'm talking about, and I'm telling you this is for you. Okay. You may not even know it yet, but this game's for you. And it's delightful, and I love it. I do think this would be great on phones or tablets or a Switch even. Like, and they probably have plans for all of that, but they're definitely doing sort of a, let's get it out on Steam, let's get some testing going, let's, you know, balance this thing out.
I like how it looks like it controls. It looks like you're pulling down this little spider mouse arrow kind of thing, right? Is that what's going
on? So you'll see in the video right here where this dying skeleton is going to get removed from the box, and he gets removed by the spider. That spider happens automatically if you've beaten him.
Okay.
So there's nothing, you don't have to do anything weird mechanics wise with that. You just kind of go for it.
Now, I love this character, the guy that is holding the board for you. This is just be so much fun. The whole thing just looks.
And the first character you play is like a warrior type. His name is Bruno. You can unlock a wizard type and a rogue type. There's a bunch of stuff to unlock. There's a lot of randomization going on in terms of, you know, the matches never feel like the same one twice. There's treasure chests to unlock. There's swords to find. There's loot to get.
Yeah, this is totally silly. This is why I want on the phone.
I like it a lot.
Give it to me.
I'm going to be shocked if this doesn't end up on phones. It would play just fine that way. But there is something nice about seeing it on a big screen, too. So there's that. Brian, how about Spyro Reignited Trilogy that you got through the Humble Bundle? This is the old PS1 stuff made to look decent, right? Isn't that the deal?
Absolutely is. The Spyro Reignited Trilogy was part of, I believe, the October bundle, maybe the November bundle. I'm not sure. Anyway, I did get this off the Humble Bundle, like you said. So if you've never played Spyro, it's one of those platform video games way back in the day that the quality for the visuals were kind of questionable, but the gameplay and the character building was a lot of fun.
Well, for its time, it looked fine, you know.
It looked fine. It was a little...
It was crunchy.
Not even pixelated. It was that era where it was like more like dotty. It was like speckled.
Yeah,
things were speckly.
PlayStation 1 was not, in retrospect, it's not the prettiest graphics ever made. No question.
It wasn't, but let me tell you what. The Reignited Trilogy, and I've kind of skipped through a little bit in each of the first three, because this is, like it says, a remake of the first three games, or remasters of the first three games. Spyro the Dragon, Spyro 2, Ripto's Rage, and Spyro, You're the Dragon. I played through most of the first one, and the gameplay is still there. It's a fun, simple little game. You're running around with your dragon Spyro. You're spitting out a little bit of, a little bit of fire here and there, and you're ramming things, when you're not doing that. And you're just collecting stuff, man. You're collecting coins, looking for hidden areas, and you're doing a little bit of gliding here and there. By the way, the gliding is a pain in the butt though. I don't know if you're, do you remember playing Spyro and
I remember it was awkward.
Certain areas.
Yeah. I remember it was awkward. Yeah. Seemed like
that's still there. So if you didn't like that part of it, you're not going to like it here either.
Okay.
But you know, it's still a lot of fun. A couple of things I found though, is this odd, the linear type of gameplay that you're getting. Lots of times I was discovering just by accident things that Spyro was able to do. And then I was able to recall before I was being introduced to them in the story. And so that was a little bit off-putting, because I would get to these little character interactions and I'd have to like scroll through like 15 pages worth of them chit chat and telling me how to do something. I already know how to do. Click, 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 click. Let's go.
Yeah.
But other than that, like I said, other than that, is if you like the Spyro originally, if you want a little nostalgia, play it. It's good.
All right.
I enjoyed the crap out of it. I'm gonna keep on playing it. And where is it at?
Everywhere.
On the Switch, mm-hmm. on the PlayStation 4, mm-hmm. on the Xbox One, on the Microsoft Windows. But I would like to have it on the Switch. I'm not sure what the price is, but it was right for the whole bundle. $12 a month. Can't beat that.
Yeah, that's all right. I still don't do the bundle. I should do it, shouldn't I?
For $12 a month, I have rarely said, and I can't think if I've ever said it, have I rarely ever said, oh man, I lost 12 bucks.
Yeah.
I never say that. I always go, wow, cool. Look what I got. And then if I don't use something, there's so many codes to give away to people.
That's right. You got something to give away.
Yeah. It's like, I already have that one. Now this is built on the Unreal Engine and is from Toys for Bob, the developers. And like I said, it's really, if you're looking for the physical copies, geez, it's still fairly expensive. $30 for the physical copy for the Xbox One version.
Yeah, it's three games though, right? Three games.
Yeah,
that's
true. $10 a piece. I guess since it's remastered, I guess so.
It's not
bad.
We've
talked about this before, though. That's not bad.
I mean, the game's really pretty.
Right, but $12 if you had the Humble Bundle Monthly, duh. And you got more stuff, not just that game.
I assume these levels are exactly the same. They've just redressed everything, right?
They looked exactly the same to me, but just based on memory. Some of the places felt really familiar, and other places I was like, I don't remember this.
Yeah.
Of course, I wasn't really a completist back when I used to play it. So now I'm much more of a completist. I'll notice things. There's like a laughing creature that you have to chase after to get some of these secret areas, which is good because it can be kind of easy. This game probably not is. You're not going to be super challenged by this game. Let's put it that way.
Yeah,
they're just looking for hangout and stuff.
It seems if this would have looked like this when it came out. We would have thought the world was ending. This looks like Black Magic.
Yeah.
These days, big deal, right? But back in the day, if Spyro looked like this looks, holy crap.
Yeah.
I mean, we would have.
I'd be on it.
Imagine where we'd be now if they looked like this.
My. We would be doing virtual reality stuff. Oh, wait, where are we? Wait, what?
Yeah, but we'd be doing better VR. That's what we'd be doing.
Yeah. Oh. See, I want to find a good. Well, there's already one. I love platformers in VR.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're just sitting there and everything, but the ability to look over top of a board and kind of move in. What was it? What game is it that was the main one they released on the Oculus?
Oh, the little platformer.
The fox one. Is it a fox?
No, he's a mouse, right?
Mouse.
Isn't he a mouse?
Oh, there's that. That's that one too. But no, I'm thinking about the other one. I'm thinking about the one that's like a fox.
Oh, I don't know. Is there a fox?
What's the name of that?
I don't know. I have it.
It's probably not.
I have an Oculus Quest over here. We should check. Ooh, that reminds me. I got to get it's that one that just hit? A pistol whip on there. Keep hearing that is amazing. Amazing.
Amazing. Lucky's Tail.
Oh, Lucky's Tail.
Lucky's Tail. That's what I was looking for.
Yeah. Isn't that named after Palmer Lucky, who's kind of weird now? The guy that founded Oculus. Yeah. He's kind of weird.
Weirdo.
The guy's weird. All right, there you go. Also, I guess you're going to dink around a little bit with Secret Neighbor. I keep hearing about that.
Oh, yeah, just a quick mention. I've played Hello Neighbor. I've talked about it on here. I had a lot of glitchy issues back then from Tiny Build's game, Hello Neighbor, but I saw great potential in it. It was a lot of fun. It's kind of a weird physics kind of game because the physics are really odd. They have a new game called Secret Neighbor that I saw show up on the Xbox Game Pass. And I hopped in before I realized what it was. I thought it was just maybe like a little small, little DLC or something. But it's actually a full-on 6v1 kind of Dead by Daylight kind of game.
Oh.
And this game's already kind of prone to being buggy, and man, oh. I did not have a great experience.
Right. Nick was playing this with his friends. Now I know why it's so familiar to me. He was playing this with his friends, and they told me they think it has really good promise, but it's not there yet.
So. Exactly. And that's what I felt about Hello Neighbor. It had so much promise, never quite got there. I was kind of surprised when this showed up. I was like, did they ever finish completing the other thing to completion to make it really the best game possible? And I was like, well, maybe that's what this DLC is. No, like I said, it's just playing online with your friends. And I had trouble matching games. I kept having to close the game out and get back in. It was just too glitchy. But when I did play, when I was actually, you know, when it was running, for the 5-10 minutes that it was running, I was having a good time. A lot of potential.
Good. All right, more on that in the future. That is going to do it for those. Let's do this now.
It's a me, Mario.
All right, time for us to play Guess My Game. I play a sound clip first, and it's a sound clip from a video game that I played or liked or even just I'm trying to fool Brian. It doesn't matter. And then he tries to figure out what it is, and if he gets it, great. Nobody wins anything, really, but we try. And then he does the same thing to me. So that's how this works. I'm going to play my clip. Brian, you see if you can tell me what this is. Are you ready?
Pac-Man.
No. Here it is.
Oh. Oh, I know this one.
Do you know it already?
No, but I know it. I mean, I don't know what it is, like the name, but I definitely have heard it and played it.
Don't look at the chat.
Okay.
Okay, some actual gameplay coming up here, so this will help you.
What is this?
Here's some more.
It's definitely... Oh, is it Prince of Persia?
Yeah,
like
exactly that. It is Prince
of
Persia.
Is it really? Yeah. Yes!
You totally now, got it.
That's not the Jake Gyllenhaal version, though,
no,
right?
That's not the Jake Gyllenhaal version. Or the Maggie Gyllenhaal version. It is purely the old ass 19. This is the one I'm looking at. Is one that was built for DOS in 89. I think it even predated that.
Right.
Or 90.
I almost
maybe.
Did Aladdin, so that would have been fun.
Oh yeah, no Aladdin. Would
it was
have
like
been.
A that, yeah. But then I realized, oh, I've already done Aladdin.
Oh, did you already do that?
Yeah, I think we've already done Guess Aladdin one time before.
Did that? That's out now, right? The one with the
Yeah, the movie, the live action.
No,
with Will
no,
Smith?
No, not that. The they were doing a re-release of Aladdin and Lion King as the video, the original video game. They're going to do like a widescreen release here recently.
I didn't know that. Oh, let me look that up. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I wonder if it's out. Is it out? Let's see. Yeah, chat room. Someone says early PC sounds. Absolutely, that was like early MIDI. Like you were getting some of that out of Doom. Bing. Actually, be a few years before you get out of Doom. But if you had a MIDI card, man. What is it? Did you see it?
It's the thing you're talking about. Oh, I didn't know they was even doing this.
Yeah, it's
how
a
did
combo.
I miss this?
You get it as a group. Those games are great.
Oh, those are great. And it's remastered?
Yeah, I played the living poo out of them on my Genesis.
Oh, yeah, the Aladdin one was so stupid and fun.
Yeah, I loved it. I don't think I played the actually Lion King. I don't think I played. But I definitely
I think
played.
I played the Lion King for a hot minute, but it wasn't one that I played very much of. I do remember those weird looking... You know, where the elephant graveyard thing that they had a,
and it was hard. Those games were not easy.
No, they weren't.
No, it was like playing freaking Super Meat Boy or something back in the day.
Yeah, they were. That was good. That was good game adaptations because they weren't really adaptations as much as they were set in the world of, but with you know like platforming type gaming.
I was a Genesis freak, so I think I preferred that one over the Super NES version. But that one's probably better. I'm sure this one looks as good as that. So I don't know how they're going to look if they're going to have, when they say remastered, are they going to redo all the cell animation? I don't know.
I'm looking at the screenshots and I'm hoping it doesn't look like this because this looks like they just took a frame and put around the 4x3 inner just to make it fit to the screen. Like when I'm seeing screenshots.
Oh, maybe they didn't go all out. That's too bad.
Yeah, that would suck.
Yeah, I don't want
because,
that.
Because, I mean, and I hope not.
Yeah, I kind of want, I mean, unless people want that sort of pure... pixelated 16-bit experience, but I don't know if they do or not.
Like, right. This is the way it's described. Two of the most beloved Disney games of all time make their long-awaited return to the modern consoles and Disney's classic games, Aladdin and Lion King. This unforgettable package of Disney classics is filled with tons of new features, none of which you care about. Enhancements, game modes, and display options. Now, I've been fooled by those display options before. You think, ooh, what display options?
Right.
It's like, oh, here. We're going to give you a CRT filter. Well, gee, thanks. That doesn't really improve. Mm-hmm. That does give me some nostalgic feelings, but doesn't really improve upon what it is. So I'm not hopeful for this. I'm looking at it now. This looks like the original with some framing going on with some graphics. I don't care for that.
Yeah,
no. I don't like that.
Don't care for that. No, I don't. All right, Brian, I'm going to play your clip, see if I can figure it out. Here we go.
Play it.
What could possibly go wrong?
Is this that Conker game?
No. Okay, this is from 1993.
Don't tell me yet. Oh, is this... This isn't the 7-Up spot thing, is it?
It's kind of in that area.
All right.
but it's not marketed like that. It's not like don't think of, you know, corporate sponsorship or anything.
Okay.
But it's kind of like that game.
Okay, so it's a side scrolling thing.
Right. I'll tell you, it had a couple of sequels.
That's all there is. I don't know. That sounded like a Super NES.
I believe you are correct about that.
Yeah, that's not the Genesis sound system. They had a not terrible, but they were just so different.
Right. This is an Accolade game, if that tells you anything.
Accolade. They had an office here.
Ooh.
What
if I told you he was an anthropomorphic Bobcat.
The Cheetah. Cheetah. No, you said Bobcat. Wait.
Yeah, Bobcat, not sponsors. You give.
Give up. What is it? It's going to irritate
Bubsy.
Me. Bubsy.
Bubsy
shit.
Bubsy shit. That's Bubsy right.
Tried,
Bubsy shit part one.
Bubsy tried so hard to be good or popular.
He really wasn't that great. And it was not good.
Oh my gosh. Bubsy.
But I put some time into it because I kept thinking, well, maybe it'll get better. It never gets
it's
too
kind
great.
Of the
it's,
same.
It's,
yeah.
it's passable. It's passable.
It's no Mario. It's not even a good Sonic game. It's just sort of tries to be both and they're not great.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what I was trying to be. It definitely had like a big Sonic feel like later on, but then it kind of flip back into the Mario world for a little bit. They couldn't figure out what they wanted to do.
Yeah, this is all true. All right, well, there you go. You got me, dude. You beat me. You won
Bubsy!
This week. Well done. You did it. Nice work. All right, time for us to do what we do here now is read an email. Are you ready for an email? Let's do an email.
Oh,
this is from Jamie, a.k.a. TMS Mashups. We know this guy.
Oh, yeah.
He pulls funny lines from things and makes mashups of it. Anyway, he wrote in and says, "Hey, Scott and Brian, I recently got myself a Wii U and a whole bunch of Mario games, and I'm finally able to introduce my six-year-old to gaming. We're currently playing Super Mario Brothers Wii U and doing co-op. He is struggling with the controls, and it's frustrating for both him and me. Both of you likely introduce gaming to your kids at a young age. How do I best go about teaching him how to play? Obviously, I want him to get good so we can legit bond over gaming and have... this common thing between him and I. Would love your input on this, both of you. Cheers, Jamie." Well, Jamie, that is the truth. Here's the problem, though. When Nick was about 4.5 or 5 is when I could finally, you know, put a controller in his hand and make something happen, right? Here's the problem, though. You give him, like, Mario 64 and I think actually he was playing game... What was the Mario on the GameCube? The one where you walk...
Mario Sunshine?
Sunshine. He would play those games. But while his sisters would do the goals and the missions and he would accomplish a level and then go to the next level and all of that, Nick would just wander around and look at stuff and he would get off course. If it was a racing game, same thing. If there was a ledge to go over to the edge and jump off of it, he would, even though it has nothing to do with the game. Like, he would get completely distracted. It wasn't until he was about 8 or 9 that he started to click with him. And when he was 9, that's when Minecraft hit. So that became his new obsession and actually was the right kind of game for the way his brain works, because he does like to just experiment and sandbox. That's what his preference is. These days, he's playing, you know, Call of Duty and Overwatch and Siege and all those kind of games and killing it in there. He's very skilled and really good. But it took a while. I think you need to just know that. Like, it's going to take a few years of them just getting their head around it. And they'll probably pick it up faster given that kids have access to touch screens and all kinds of other stuff now that sort of speeds things up for them.
I think what the thing we want to do as parents is we're wanting to show them how to do it physically with their motor skills. And while the motor skills are definitely there at that age, the attention span is not. I mean, it's just real hard for them to understand that. I don't know if you really can teach that. It's something that's kind of like develops over time, right? Just keep handing it to them. Just let them keep playing.
Yeah. Let him play it. Let him have fun. I mean, he would just get bored and wander around because he didn't.
Yeah.
He didn't like instruction and process and planning. Like, that's just not him. And he's still that
goals,
way.
Yeah. Reaching goals is not something that matter of fact, they usually get frustrated if you try to force them to reach the goal. They get mad.
Right. If they glom onto that immediately, then that's great. That means they've got kind of a tendency toward it. But you just kind of want to let them do it at their own pace, and they'll get around to it. They'll be fine. One thing Nick was terrified of is we couldn't play anything that had surgery in it.
Ah.
So it just terrified him for some reason. So we couldn't play. Do you remember the Wii game where you'd take the Wiimote and kind of make incisions and take glass out of the guy's gut and all that? It was some Japanese game, and it was super cartoony, like not gross at all. It was like
Surgeon Simulator or something weird.
Maybe like Surgeon, I forget. But it was so rudimentary and silly that I never thought about it. But he would sit there and get completely freaked out by it because he had a lot of sort of body horror. Like, that stuff just really gave him the willies. So he couldn't play anything that with surgery in it. It wasn't until he was like 15 and he got his appendix out that he was suddenly okay with surgery. Like, it took that long and a successful surgery for him to feel better about it.
Right. It works.
Anyway, video games, they're the best. Thanks for your email there, Jamie. Hopefully it helps you and others as they listen. Boopshow@gmail.com is our email address. As always, you can follow us on the website. Get all our old episodes at frogpants.com/BOOP. You can leave us voicemails at 801-471-0462. Brian's camera went dead. Boopshow@gmail.com, as I mentioned. Twitter. We're on Twitter at Boopshow. Brian's at the Brian Dunaway. I'm at Scott Johnson. And as always, you can find us at boopshow.reddit.com. Oh, he's back. There you are. Brian, any final words of wisdom for our dear listeners at home?
Absolutely. Tune in this week. Probably most likely Wednesday, possibly Thursday in one day this weekend. But definitely Wednesday we'll be playing, if we get our hands on it, from the Red Box Death Stranding.
Oh, yeah. I need to hear from you what you think. That's. So hopefully next episode you've got something to say about Death Stranding, because I don't think I got it in me.
I got something to say. Weird storyline, weird character dialogue. You know what it's going to be. We've seen this guy.
We've been there, but yeah, we've been down this road. We know what's up. All right. Well, sweet. That is a great idea. So we're going to do that. Also, here's some advice for everybody. Nope, that's not it.
Activate Pac-Man.
I was going to say activate Pac-Man, but it didn't, so I won't. That's going to do it for us. Thank you all for listening. It's been great having you here. We'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I don't like steam. I love steam.